In sadness, shock, and despair, many of us across the country watched as police ended the life of a man, George Floyd, in Minneapolis. And what ensued? Well, not unexpected. People gathered all across the country to bring light, to ask for justice and peace amid this horrible event. What also ensued? Riots, unrest, and more issues brought forward. Joining me this morning, I can't think of a better person to help us understand and explain a right Catholic response to all that we are going through right now, Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers. Deacon Harold, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Brenda and Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, Deacon, as I said, we watched what happened, and you spent some time recently on one of your YouTube posts really going into depth as to what a right Catholic response to what we're experiencing should or could be. And you talk about that a lot. And first, though, in your post, you wanted to make some clarifications right up the front. What are we talking about? And some definitions. And you said, first and foremost, it is important for Catholics to speak the truth in love. Well, Deacon, what is that truth?
Well, the truth is that God calls each of us to love deeply, personally, and intimately. It's about seeing the person in the image of God standing in front of you. It's not about seeing a stereotype. It's not about seeing a caricature. It's about the way, seeing people the way Mother Teresa, St. Teresa of Calcutta saw someone. When she saw that leper, when she saw that person dying of disease, she saw Jesus. It's the way Father Augustus Tolton saw people. He put up with tremendous, tremendous racism during his time, and took an arduous road to become America's first African-American priest. But he approached those who were against him with love and respect and understanding. And I don't think we're loving deeply enough. We're loving on the surface. And I love my car. I love my dog. I love my house. But God calls us to a much deeper love, a love that never looks at what's best for itself, always looks what's best for the other. Why? Is when you give yourself away in love is when you truly find yourself in God. And we have basically removed God from almost every aspect of our cultural life in this country. We moved them from the schools. We removed them from everywhere. Even now in some states with this whole COVID thing, you know, they're saying, well, you can go to the mall, but you can't go to church. So, you know, and when you remove God from the picture, then the devil's going to step in. And so it's about the truth and love, and that truth is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's about seeing people and seeing Christ in the person standing in front of you.
Deacon, I think maybe one of the most important first steps in all of this in being able to see other people in that light and in that truth is to look inward first and recognize, you know, where am I falling short? I think for most people, if you ask them, you know, are you a racist? Do you have prejudice? And a person would go, no. I don't. I'm a good Catholic. I go to church on Sunday. I tithe, you know, Catholic schools, all of these things. But if we don't kind of look inward on ourselves and kind of think, well, you know, that is a thought that I have, but, you know, does that affect my viewpoint of people? Can you maybe help us understand, you know, these ideas of what does racism look like? What do personal prejudice look like? And how are they affecting how we are treating and looking at our neighbor?
Sure. So prejudice is when you make a judgment about someone without based on any kind of facts or any kind of objective data. So, for example, people say, oh, Deacon, you're from Newark, New Jersey. You must have been poor. As if everybody from Newark, New Jersey is poor. Or they said, oh, you know, I'm a fairly large, you know, black guy, right? So they said, oh, you went to Notre Dame. What position did you play? Assuming that because of my size, and maybe the only way I can get to Notre Dame is football, though I had an academic scholarship. You know, they don't say, hey, Deacon, what did you study? You see what I'm saying? So right. We all have those kinds of prejudices. And, And those are precipitated by the way people are portrayed on television, in the media, even on social media and things like that. You know, you put people, pigeonhole people into categories. And we need to break down those walls and just start seeing people, just start having conversations with people, getting to know people, you know, and this whole social media thing, although it has some very good aspects to it, I think is, I'm not talking about the social distancing now with the COVID-19, even prior to that, is a way of communicating at just a superficial level with people. You know, I meet young people now. They when you meet them, they can't shake your hand. They don't look you in the eye. They don't know how to hold a conversation because they're so used to texting everybody all the time. And we need to get away from that and really get to know people. And in the scriptures, the word for knowing someone deeply and intimately is yada in Hebrew. It's knowledge that's gained by experience. We have to share in each other's experiences and not just to know each other at a superficial level. And it's then that we'll recognize, you know what? So you're a different color, you're a different race, but we're basically the same. You know? And that's what we need to start looking at in people.
You know, Deacon, I had a chance to watch your Walk by Faith Wednesday, and it was just excellent. Let me tell you that right now, and I really encourage people to go and watch it. It's about 60 minutes in length, and you really go in depth into this, and I really appreciated that. You mentioned two things, too, in the video, and that was one, we need to look at Catholic social justice principles, if we really want to drill down into this. And then you also talk about us being the Good Samaritan. And I loved that example. So if you would talk about a couple of those things.
Yeah, so I think the Catholic Church has the best systematic approach to social justice of anyone in the world. You know, the U.S. bishops have done an excellent job outlining seven different principles of Catholic social justice. This is something that John Paul II developed during his 27-year pontificate. And this is something that has always been in the church. So what I'm saying is we need to take these social justice principles and not just learn about them, like again, adult faith formation or an RCIA. We need to hear these being preached from the pulpit. We need to take these and start to imbibe them. They're not just to become what we do, but who we are. And a great way to do that is to unite them with the Beatitudes. Now, we know the Beatitudes are from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5-7 is the Sermon on the Mount, and part of that is the Beatitudes. So when we unite these social justice principles with the Beatitudes, then we have an outline, we have a template for how we can start to look at someone and see God in that person. Because these aren't just principles or ideas. We just can't keep them in our head. We have to move them from our head into our hearts. That's the first thing. And the second thing about the Good Samaritan is this. You know, we all know the story. You know, the guy's at the side of the road, and the priest walks by, the Levite walks by, doesn't even pay any attention to him. And in fact, not only that, they don't even call for help for the guy. And if they didn't want to help, at least they could have called, you know, call for an assistance or someone else to help or law enforcement, something. They did nothing. And now the Samaritan, who in the eyes of the Jewish people were, you know, they were ethnically related, and they shared some of the same beliefs, but the Samaritans were considered heretics and not considered really part of the community. And in fact, when Jesus said, well, who was the one that helped? And the guy couldn't even bring himself to say Samaritan. He couldn't even bring it to, he said, the one who showed him mercy, you know? Mm-hmm. And we think, and when we hear that story, we think, oh, man, I'm not good. I'm the Good Samaritan. If someone lying by the side of the road, I would help them. Yeah. So what if the guy was lying at the side of the road was that police officer who knelt on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes? What if it were him? What if it was the person that raped you? What was the person who beat you? You know, maybe your ex-husband who was drunk. And as we walk by them on the side of the road, the anger and the hatred that we feel burns like a fire in our hearts. And we want more than anything to just look at that person and point at them, you deserve it, and not even give them a second thought. That's not Jesus's point in that parable. We have to be that Good Samaritan, because that Samaritan exemplified a whole new standard of holiness. where God no longer requires his people to be separate, like we are now in this country. We're separate from each other. But he calls each of us to extend mercy to everyone that's in need and not to exclude anyone on the grounds of prejudice or hatred. And so when our, you know, people, our brothers and sisters of European descent, or, you know, ask, well, how can I help? You know, I'm not a person of color. How can I help in all this? Be the Samaritan. Don't walk by and say, well, that's not my issue. Because when you do that, you know what you're doing? It would be like back in the days of slavery. Say you're walking down the street with your child and you see on the auction block that a family is being broken up. One slave owner is taking the children, another one's taking the wife, another one's taking the husband, and they're screaming and they're crying, and you cover your children's eyes and ears. Well, just keep walking. Don't notice. Just keep walking. That's not being the Good Samaritan. That's being the priest and the Levite. You know, we're all part of the body of Christ. And so my situation, my problem is also your problem, because we're all part of the same family. Mm. And so I think those are two of the things that I brought out in my talk.
Deacon Harold Brooks-Sivers is joining us this morning, and he's helping us step, however justly and rightly, into what we are experiencing through these protests in the United States in the wake of the death of George Floyd. Well, Deacon, we've looked inward on ourselves. We have tried to root out those areas where we need attention. We have turned to our scripture to try to find a right reason and way forward. Now it's time for action. What is then should our action be as Catholics to be a part of real change? You know, even Christ upturned a table to bring attention to where we were going wrong. But that doesn't mean that we should be going out and, you know, hurting each other to get our message across. What is the right Catholic action that we should be following?
Well, first of all, I think that the protests and the marches and the speeches, those, and the statements by the bishops, those are all good things, even if it leads to civil disobedience. So let me be clear what I mean by that. You know, there are many governors who have restrictions on how many people can gather because of the COVID-19 mm-hmm. pandemic. So you can't gather in large crowds. But people have been defying that by gathering in large crowds to protest, let their voices be heard over the issue with George Floyd. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a viable act of civil disobedience. What's not should be tolerated is the vandalism, is the violence, is the destruction of property. People who have spent their entire life savings to serve the people in that community, police officers and others being killed or seriously injured because of the violence, that is not a response that we should be participating in. It is sin, is what it is. You got to call it for what it is. That is sinful actions, and we should be taking no part of that as Catholics. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, people are pointing fingers at the police. Well, there's two things that I would say. One, from 2002 to 2008, I had the great privilege of serving on the board of the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training for the state of Oregon. And that's the agency that trains all the police officers, a governor-appointed position. So Kitzhaber and then Kulongoski both appointed me to that position. So I'm intimately familiar with the training of police officers. And what that officer did to Mr. Floyd was not a technique at all that's learned in any police academy that I know of. That's ridiculous. So I would encourage people, you know, to go on a ride-along with the police, or if they have an opportunity for, like, if you get involved in the shoot-don't-shoot scenario, so you can actually see the situation that police officers are in. But what that officer did to Floyd was homicide. There's just no way you can justify that at all. I think another response would be is to take these Catholic social justice principles and put them into action. Have forums in your parish, you know, because sometimes, you know, we have like a Hispanic mass, we have the Vietnamese mass, and no one mingles together. We should have more opportunities for us to come together to share our experiences as Catholics. You know, so someone from European descent should be intimately interested in what it's like to be a Vietnamese Catholic in this diocese, or what it means to be a Black Catholic in this diocese, what it means to be Hispanic, and all come together and talk about that and get to know each other. And you start at a personal level, you start at a parish level, and it moves out from there. I mean, what we shouldn't be doing is programming people to death. Oh, let's develop a racism program. No, the song that I grew up hearing, Let There Be Peace on Earth, let it begin with me. Mm-hmm. You know, let it begin with me. And so that's where we start, and we move out from there.
Very good. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and Deacon, I don't know if you have this in front of you, but you said it again in your Zoom cast on Wednesday. There was a prayer to end racism. Where was that from?
Yeah, that was a prayer. There was a document that came out by the U.S. bishops back in 2018. And what I talked about, there was a number of documents that came out from bishops over the years about the racism. But this particular one came out in 2018. And at the end of that document, they wrote a beautiful prayer for the end of racism. And the document was called Open Wide Your Hearts. Mm. And at the end of that, they had a prayer asking for the intercession of the Blessed Mother. And it just goes, as Mary, friend and mother to all, through your Son, God has found a way to unite himself to every human being, called to be one people, sisters and brothers to each other. We ask for your help in calling on your Son, seeking forgiveness for the times when we have failed to love and respect one another. We ask for your help in attaining from your Son the grace we need to overcome the evil of racism and to build a just society. We ask for your help in following your Son, so that prejudice and animosity will no longer infect our minds and hearts, but will be replaced with a love that respects the dignity of each person. Mother of the Church, the Spirit of your Son, Jesus, warms our hearts. Pray for us.
Amen. And Deacon Harold, I can't think of a better spot to end our discussion. Although this is just the beginning, I think there is a lot of work still to be done and many areas we as Catholics can engage. We thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great weekend.
God bless you.